Jimmy, I think you did a good job, and I find myself in agreement all the way. There are a few things that come up that sometimes concern me, and I'll point up one question. Do you think that it is scriptural or permissible for a person, and you emphasized foster homes being better than institutions, and I'm inclined to agree with that for several reasons, you've given some. Do you think that it's scriptural to take money out of the treasurer to pay the expenses of adopting a child to be brought into a foster home or to help take care of that child after it's been adopted and brought into a foster home? I'm talking about taking money out of the church treasurer to expedite this matter.
Well, serious questions about, you know, negative feelings about.
Mine's kind of along the same line as Clovis's. The first question I wanted to ask you was, what about helping a needy Christian woman that has an unbelieving husband? And with that question, what about someone that maybe adopts several children that's a member of the church? Could the church help, say it's a widow indeed, could the church continue to support her?
Okay, some of this is interlocking. I'm gonna try to deal with some of it. Some of it, if we get into, I don't want to get on this one line. When Ronnie called me and asked me to take this topic assignment, he said the family would give somebody else of the topic of, and he wasn't able to, on the church and the benevolence with members, you know. And so, what little bit's overlapping, I'll take, but I don't want to get all, you know, I want to keep mine right on. Okay, with a needy sister, of course that word, and I think you used it rightly there, but the word, you know, poor saints in the Bible, that was the same word that's used of Lazarus, Luke 16, of a beggar, you know, destitute. It wasn't just, well, they've got a little hospital bill to come up, you know, and they're going to kind of put them in a title to do it, you know, handle it. But it was, you know, destitute. Now, I'm not saying that Christians have to get destitute, you know, as far as any help, you know, to the point of Lazarus and begging bread. Nevertheless, that's what's taught, you know, I believe the words have some meaning there. Now, if it falls on her, you know, the needy wife, you know, if he won't take care of it, I think the church has an obligation for her. She's a sister, and an obligation to help her. That's my judgment on it. Now, as far as a widow, did she take them in after, or you come out, you know, after she became? I don't believe. In other words, I think I said we can't. No man is obligated for more than he can perform. In other words, obligated to take somebody in and somebody else pay for it. You know, somebody else support it. You know, feed them. And so, if she took them in, you know, after she became a widow, you know, and not able to provide for them, I don't know. I don't know. Did that answer?
Yes. I wanted to ask one other thing. First of all, I want to say that I agree with you. I don't believe the scriptures teach that we can help or use the church treasury to help unbelievers. But what I'd like to ask is, which would you think would be the worst evil? Supporting orphan homes or neglecting to take care of orphans in our own homes? And do we have a right as preachers of the gospel to stand up and preach against orphan homes when we don't have any orphans in our own homes?
Okay, I would answer that like W.W. Oden did in the Odie Brennan debate when he asked him, you know, well, he's talking about, well, how many churches have y'all established that oppose this? You know, whether he does establish any or not, didn't prove the Missionary Society right. And the same, you know, the way I'd answer the argument. Now, as far as, and there's a shortage of orphans. Now, listen, our brother is begging for them. And I, frankly, got my hands full. I've always wanted to adopt a little orphan for no other reason. I married one. And I've always been grateful, thankful. they adopted sin. Now that's the way I think.
Rick.
Jimmy, I appreciate your remarks very much, and I think I'm in agreement with you wholeheartedly. I think that the idea of foster home care can eventually develop into an institution if a family gets carried away with it. Do you agree with that?
I sure do. I've seen it.
Right. This idea, though, that there's a shortage of orphans, I think that's sort of a smokescreen, because when I lived in St. Louis, Missouri, the radios would advertise, we need parents for children. Now, we don't have them that just have come right out of the hospital, but we have children that are 5 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, and they don't have a mom and a dad. And in West Virginia, which is a very a state that has very few people, there's radio advertisements that are saying, we have children and we need parents that will take care of them. I don't think that St. Louis, Missouri or West Virginia is any different from Texas or Oklahoma or anyplace else. The problem with a lot of people is we want a little baby that hasn't been named, that doesn't have any problems, no physical defects, and that if we're white, we want a white baby, and if we're black, we want a black baby. We don't want anyone that's different than we are, and we don't have enough love to give to people, to little children, that may have some sort of a difficulty or may have been raised to this age and they've already developed bad habits that we've got to work with. That's the problem that exists in our society, the church as well as the whole society.
You're correct, and I stand corrected on that. That's, you're exactly right. As far as the special kids that they call them, you know, there's a world of them out yonder now. As far as opportunity, you know, and obligation of what we can handle, there's some of those cases I can't handle. And so I don't believe I have the opportunity to do something I can't do. There's a many of them that's beyond me. Now, there's probably some that I could, you know. But now I'm ready to recognize my limitations too. But there's some I can't handle. And I couldn't handle the situation.
Yeah. Appreciate thing you presented and what you said right there, Jimmy. Hearty amen to everything. Since it was brought in the body of your presentation about widows and orphans and the individual responsibility, I fear too many times on this subject as well as that of widows, recognizing that was not your subject, but it all falls in the same line, that too many times we're so ready to cast the burden upon the church to take care of these, where if we take the principle outlined when Paul wrote to young man Timothy there in 1 Timothy 5, the obligation, first of all, lies upon the home. That is, for example, if for unforeseen reasons, my wife and I were both to pass away in a common calamity or within a short span of time, I don't expect the church to take care of my boys. I expect my family to take care of them. I think that's what Paul is striving there.
1 Timothy 5.
And that's where it really comes in. That, you know, takes in so many areas here. And we can't cure all the ills of the world. They've been there from almost day one. They'll be here until Christ comes again. But where we have opportunity and the means, just as you just answered Richard's question, then I feel we have to do it. And we have to recognize in all these areas, family first comes to rescue. When the family cannot do it, then there's other means that have to be accessed.
With the mass media today, it has certainly broadened our responsibility because, you know, our awareness that it is broadened. So.
Jimmy, commenting on James 1:27 again. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father. Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Keep himself inspired from the world. What do you feel about this visit, the fatherless and widows?
Well, that
fatherless is
very
a childless. It's an orphan. Do you feel that that child could be assisted or helped from the church church?
That's individual action. That's totally individual action. It's not fitting there.
Yes, yeah. I know it is. And the point of it is, this child without a father and mother,
Can the church in any way assist that child if it has not as yet been adopted? What is our obligation as a church to that child?
I feel like only in the sense of finding one of their members that they could put it in, you know, home, what have you there. Much like I believe the church can provide the place for a woman to teach, you know, privately, what have you. You know, she can teach somebody else. Somebody needs teaching. So here's a sister. Here's somebody who needs teaching. The church provides the elders or what have you in her sight. Well, that's the only way I believe the church can provide.
If we place that child in a home and those people are not maybe financially able to pay the law or the adoption and whatever, can the church assist the Christian in doing and taking that?
I don't believe the church has got any business placing it there in a place where a man couldn't provide. How many could they place there? Where would we limit it if we did, you know? I mean, we're going to give them 100, you know? If you can one, can 100, you know, and then keep it up. So. And I don't believe that the church can do it. But lay on a man an obligation that he can't have.
Well, of course, the church is not going to put it in anyone's home. But if an individual adopts that child to give it its love, its attention, its aid, and so on, can the church assist the Christian in aiding that child, making it his own? Unfortunately, I didn't have to have that. I did adopt a child. That child was not any less to me than my own children born to me. And for the church or anyone to say that we can help with the three sons born but not this daughter you adopted, I can't see that to me. I think the church had as much obligation to that adopted daughter as I did my three born sons.
Yeah.
If they assist me in some, why not all?
Okay, the point was, I think before, I'm putting it the same as with those three sons. Why would they have to help you with those three sons? He that won't provide his own, deny the faith, and worship them today.
No, I'm just saying if I had a car wreck, no longer to carry on my work, that brings in my income. There are incidents like this that happen. I feel like as a saint in Christ, the church would be in order to help me supply for my children. They're all grown now, so it's not that kind of thing. I'm just wanting to get this picture in mind. Now, so far as the foster home, that is a job created by people and usually done for an income. And I can see a total different thing from that than making these children your family, your life, and so on. The only thing I'm saying, if the family is entitled to one born to them, they're entitled to one that they adopt as well. Just a thought.
I had two questions on the statement I want to make. You're right about Coleman, you're right about childhood, and I was living near there when all that went on. And it's still that way today. And they just fired a lady about a year or two ago for beating a child with a belt because he wouldn't eat liver at their dinner table. Also, you're right about those children in that home not being orphans. The majority of those children are from central Alabama, northern Alabama. That their children are their parents are alcoholics, such things as that. And basically the question that I had to ask was, how far do you suggest or do you think that we can go in our response or in our help to any saint, whether it be a needy saint or in a congregation or in a distance? I'm of the opinion, and it's been stated prior, that we've got to be very careful about how we distribute the funds of a congregation, that we make sure it is a legitimate need and not just simply, like you say, they have an electric bill they have a little trouble paying, so we slip them a check for $50. I've seen that happen. And I think that's something that we've got to address, is that the funds of the congregation, the Lord's money, is very important that we spend for exactly the purpose that it was given.
May I not address those
if
you will?
Do you feel it's the church's responsibility to or obligation to help a needy saint who's not consistent in church attendance?
Some of that gets in judgmental matters, and that's all I could say. Is judgmental matters. Sometimes I have to make judgments on some things like that. I mean, even on degrees of faithfulness. So I I just have to leave it like that. In all honesty, without trying to dodge.
Don have to speak up a little bit. We can't hear that.
Okay.
You're not hearing me. Really.
Bob?
Not hearing me.
Turn up the
volume. Not hearing you or hearing them either. I'm getting lost.
Okay, he asked the question, what about helping needy saints that are not faithful or partially faithful? And I answered that I felt that that's a matter of judgment, and I didn't want it to be a dodge and state that, because there's even degrees of faithfulness sometimes that we have to make some judgments, and I desired to leave it like that without dodging or evading the question.
No, I got some ahead of the article. Sorry, I just getting your name so you knew that. And remember to speak up. Nobody wants to close his blood on their hand. Help.
I had a comment and then something that I'd like to engage in a little bit of discussion with. You know, as I thought about this, this reminds me very much of what happened to Roman Catholicism when it created the institutions of the convent and the monasteries. Those became some of the most abominable and corrupt organizations that this world has ever known. And some of that article that you read indicates to me that they're gravitating in the same direction. You know, and I wonder if the same satanic principle isn't working here in this situation. That's just a comment. But you know, something else occurred to me, and that is, in your study of this, and I appreciate your study and appreciate your presentation and the way you've looked into it, are the Degrassis involved in orphans' homes in other countries?
Oh, yes.
Are they? I was just wondering if they, I had, that was one end I hadn't looked at.
Here's two. I've got the Woods, Cogdell-Woods debate, Woods-Britnell debate, and I don't know how many debates. Here's the two that dealt with it the best of any. Brother LeCouda and J.T. Smith debated that in the Philippines. And like Brother Andrew, let me tell you what, Brother LeCouda, if you think you just got to be an American, if you go over and somebody challenge you for a debate, you might want to come back and debate American first. Because they ain't none of them could outdo it as far as I'm concerned. And with these two books right here, the Simpson-Britnell debate and the LeCouda-Smith debate, deal with this issue the best. I resent with our brethren if they debate the cups and classes, if they won't answer the class and cups men's arguments, they just debate it. And I resent that in the debate. Our discussion. They do the best job in this of dealing with these issues and dealing with them head on that I've ever found. And I've read the mothers, you know, this does the best that I've seen.
Okay. The point I was getting at is, how extensive is that? Is that just is that a major effort, or is that just kind of a dabbling here and there? Or are they really putting forth a major effort? And what I'm getting at is that, you know, the way they do mission work a lot of times, and when I was going to OCC, one of their so-called missionaries came and told us how they were doing missionary work in Africa, and that was to build a school and teach people to be carpenters, electricians, and then in the afternoon they had to study their religion. And in other words, they were using this institution rather than just going out and preaching the gospel. And I was just wondering, you know, if they're really sincerely interested in orphans, why not go to Calcutta? You know, why mess around in this country? Go where the orphans really are.
I haven't really studied that much of over there, and I could just tell you my feelings that I got of this was they just did enough to try to stay honest, because they don't have a socialized welfare system in these countries. And see, all of a sudden, the church is an all-sufficient institution. They're met with what we and just tell them back here. We got to care for everybody we can. That's its mission. And so they just dabble in it. It's my own feelings.
I think that's a significant point.
I'll ask my question.
Okay, all right. Yes, Jimmy, on the question that was just asked about the use of the church treasury for one who was not faithful or not assembling all the time, you mentioned it was a judgmental matter on that. Let me ask you this, because I'm under the impression that that word saint carries with it a meaning of one who is faithful. Is that not your finding on that?
Well, okay, the Bible also says that the saint is weak. You know, there's one weak in the faith and strong in the faith, and still a saint, you know. But see, that takes some judgmental matter. I almost added that part about the saint, but then in all fairness, you know, we try to give some folks the benefit of the doubt. You know, there's always some doubts and different things. Man might be sick, but we wonder how sick that he's not at church on Sunday. You know, well, he went to work in some days of the week. And so there's some judgmental matters.
We have a couple more minutes. I've come to the end of the question list. Is there any more questions?
It's been long in the last 2 days.
It has. All right, Glenn.
I don't know if this is off the subject or not. Try to keep it on there. It seems to me that someone who is supported by the church full-time by the preacher has kind of a unique situation in what you've described here, in the sense that if he was to strive to, get an orphan or whatever, the expenses would have definitely be linked up with the support of the church in some way. You don't agree with that?
My kids are not orphans of the church, and I'm not going to have them grow up that way, believing that. I earn what I've got, you know. I believe the workman's worthy of his hire. When I get it, they ain't got a backup. The church hasn't supported my kids.
Right. What if some member, what if you were to adopt as a preacher now, if you were to adopt a child and some member thought that was going beyond your responsibility and used that argument against, supporting you because you were going to go ahead and support them. What if that happened? Would you have any wisdom?
Man, it's like arguing that the preacher buys, you give the preacher money and he buys food, the church is in the food buying business. You know, if you give the preacher money and he buys a car, the church is in the car buying business. We gave him money and he bought it as a church. It's not so, so I just cut it off there completely. And what I do with my money, it's mine, it's not the church's.
One more, then. The church consider the size of a man's responsibility or family to support him?
They don't.